fellowship, let me encourage you to find a seat and then stand in front of it, and let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Mighty is our God, the everlasting King. All the earth proclaim the glories of his name. Enthroned in the heavens, the angels sing his praise. Mighty is our God, holy is he. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise him, sun and moon, praise him, stars of light. Praise him in the depth and praise him in the height. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Mighty is our God, holy is he. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Witness to all men the joy of the Lord, for upon us all his love he has poured. Let every tongue confess forever, Jesus is Lord, worthy is he. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Beautiful September Sunday. My name is Eric Byram. I'm one of the elders here at Grace Fellowship Church. We've been working through the Psalms, and today we're going to be reading Psalms 85. And I just want you to pause. Maybe you were in a rush to get here this morning. Maybe there was some intense fellowship going out the door. You know, sometimes getting people moving can be a challenge. May you be able to slow down now. Present, not thinking about the football games this afternoon or lunch or whatever worries of the coming week. Let's lay those aside. Let's lay all distractions aside and focus and be fully present in this moment and in this service. So let me read this for us. I'm going to read this slowly, so I want you to internalize what is being said. Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what the Lord, what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. So let's walk in that way. Let's not be foolish and run back to the things that have enslaved us in the past, but let us run towards him, the faithful, good God that we serve. Let's praise the Lord together.
songs of faithful Zion. We are the stars and the grains of sand. Through our faith we are made glorious. We are the sons of Abraham. For we are a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation. Once no people, now God's people, proclaiming his marvelous light. Dance the steps of joyful Zion, cymbals, harp, and tambourines. Blow the trumpet, sound the glory, be in the presence of the Lord. For we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, once no people, now God's people, proclaiming his marvelous light. Taste the fruit of peaceful valleys, sip of the wine and eat the bread. Know the shepherd who is guiding, the Lord, the Lamb of God. For we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, once no people, now God's people, proclaiming his marvelous light. We will serve through tribulation, we will follow to the cross. Know the death and pain of suffering, God wipes the tears from our eyes. For we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, once no people, now God's people, proclaiming his marvelous. Now God's people, proclaiming his marvelous. Now God's people, proclaiming his marvelous light.
Did you notice how the author threw in that fourth verse on us? We're all singing about cymbals, harps, and tambourines, and fruit of peaceful valleys, and then we go, oh, and we'll serve through tribulation. Don't worry about that part. We'll follow to the cross. We got that. You know? It is all part of it. I've been reading Isaiah, and boy, talk about a yo-yo of a book. I mean, Isaiah is, you know, you've all blown it. You're all going into exile. And, oh, by the way, God loves you. He's going to bring you back from exile, and we're going to, you know, crush these other countries, but it's not going to be for a few years yet because you've really blown it. You know, oh, but I do love you. I'm bringing you back. And I think sometimes our own lives feel like that, you know, even in a week or even in a day, we can go peak to valley, valley to peak. And it's good to come on a Eucharist Sunday and remind ourselves just how loved we are by God and how cared for we are, and to remind ourselves of the finality of Jesus' sacrifice for us, and that he's coming again. This next song alludes to Jesus' return. And that's part of the Eucharist, celebrating the Eucharist also. So I always try and throw at least one song in here that talks about that. I've been trying to remind myself that way during my times with the Lord in the morning, that he's coming again. And how does that change how I live? That change it? I think it does change it. So, sing with us.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
Thank you, Lord.
Come, Lord, we do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
That's coming.
We do. Is all creation groaning?
is a new creation coming. It is. It's the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Oh, Jesus. And is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
Thank you, Lord.
He does.
Does
the Spirit move among us? He does. And does Jesus our Messiah hold forever those he loves? He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? applied to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood sacrifice. Though Satan will bring accusations, I let him know right where I stand. For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the blood of the Passover Lamb is applied to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood sacrifice. Though Satan will bring accusations, let him know right where I stand. For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb.
Sunday, we remember something. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So what do we remember? His death and resurrection. So what does this bread symbolize? His body, which was broken for us, right? Why does that matter? Passages that speak of the curtain being torn, like his body was torn. And what was the curtain protecting? What was the curtain separating? The Holy of Holies. Nobody could go back there except the high priest. So when we break this, we're saying that curtain is gone. We actually, the Holy of Holies is within you and I when we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we have access to the Holy of Holies all the time now. That is crazy. Think about all the trouble they had to go through. Once a year somebody could go in there. And what does the cup mean? This blood which was shed for you. And something we're going to be talking about today is it's important to understand the Old Testament because it kind of lays a foundation to understand even the significance of the cross. You know, why are sacrifices necessary? The modern person today would say, well, we don't sacrifice anymore. Why was that necessary? Well, the blood, the life of the animal was in its blood. So a life was being given for a life. When we choose to go away from God, we're since cutting ourselves off from life, like a branch being cut off a tree. So a life had to be given. Payment for sin had to be made. And so Christ, through the shedding of his blood, has paid the price for your and my sin for all time. Now that's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? Some of us might feel like, I'm a pretty good person. But who are we comparing ourselves to? Are we comparing ourselves to Hitler or someone else? You know, but if we compare ourselves to the perfect standard, we go, gosh, I fall so far short. None of us is perfect. So we need the price for our sin paid. That's what we're being reminded of. So we're being reminded sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So communion is a great time to go through that discipline of confession. I encourage you to do that daily, but this is a great time. So let's just take a moment just to ask the Lord to search our hearts. Fellowship, we come up row by row to the front, and then we can take the bread and the cup. There is gluten-free bread if that's an issue for you. And then we go back to our seats. You can participate in this by yourself, or if you want to, with those around you, pray and do that. So we don't all wait until everybody's received and then do it. We do it as we do it, as we come up. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward and to go first. They can be at the back. If you want prayer for anything, this is a great time to avail yourself of that great opportunity. So prayer team, please come forward. The table of the Lord is open.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God did not send his Son into the world to bring condemnation, but rather that through the receiving of him, men might find true salvation and have life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He came into the world and he dwelt among his own, but his own they would not receive. But power to become the sons of God he gave to all who believe. He gave life everlasting, his life everlasting, his life everlasting, his life everlasting.
next Sunday is our fifth Sunday. What do we do on the fifth Sunday of the month? Celebration Sunday, right? And this is a great opportunity for you to come prepared with maybe a testimony of how God is using maybe the theme of this year, using your freedom to love God and others well. So be thinking about this week. How is God challenging you in that area? What could you share? Or if he's doing something else for you. Do you need to share something? Okay. Yeah.
From a worship perspective, Andy and Dan and I will all be leading part of the worship. We really love it when someone comes up to us and said, this song that we've done before, God really puts this on my heart. Don't give us a brand new song to learn in one day, please. We're not that good. But if there's a song that we've done before and this week sometime God just brings that to your heart or mind, give one of us a call and let us add that to the list.
Thank you. Yeah.
And maybe preferably before what time do they need to let you know? By Thursday or Friday? I'd go with Andy, so Thursday. Okay. So don't come in on Sunday morning saying, hey, Andy, could you? He'll be like, I could, but I won't.
Following that, we're going to have lunch together, a potluck lunch, so bring a main dish and then either a side or dessert. If you're not much of a cook, just grab a bucket of KFC or some tacos from Taco Bell. Those work. But we're going to have a time of fellowship afterwards. So there won't be any Circle Church or Sunday School next Sunday. This Sunday we got it. So just so you're aware and come prepared for that. We have forms in the back. Greg Frankenfield, the elders have put him forth for eldership. So those of you that are members can vote affirmation or have, if you have questions or anything, the forms are in the back there. Those will be due by October 15th. Between now and then, feel free to talk to Greg if you have any questions for him and Mary Ray as well. So that's something that just put it out there. I want to thank all that helped to make the Fall Family Fun Night happen last night. If you weren't here, you missed out on perfect weather, some awesome chili and soup. We had a fire and just some awesome fellowship. So make sure to come next year when we do that. But thank you for all those that helped to make that happen. Women's prayer, 9 to 10 a.m. this Thursday in the Lion Room. And don't forget Connect Groups. And I was given this announcement. The Adult Connect Group will be going through 1 Samuel 10 through 12. So if you don't have the book but you want to read that to kind of be ready for that, one thing we are doing with Adult Connect that I would encourage you, we're going through the whole Bible. So they're in the second book of that series, so they're in the Samuel now. But if you have never read through the Bible, it's a great opportunity to kind of work your way through it and talk with other adults. I've heard from folks that have been followers of Christ for many years that feel like, wow, I'm still benefiting from this. So that's a great thing. And if you're kind of new to the faith, you don't know what you know, it's a great opportunity. It's at a low enough level, you're not expected to be a Bible scholar to come to this Bible study. So feel free to come out for that. All right, that should do it for announcements. I hope I didn't miss anything. I don't even see anybody waving at me. I did mention that. Gotcha. All right. So, how many of you have ever had something that was worth a lot that you didn't realize it was worth a lot? Has anyone ever had that? After you sold it, after you donated it to Goodwill or something, right? I remember when I was younger, my brothers collected baseball and football cards. Anyone do that when they were younger? And we all have heard those stories about, you know, like, kids using those in their bike tire to be like make it sound like a motor, and later on finding out it was a Mickey Mantle or whatever, and or mothers that after their kids went to college ended up just giving away their baseball card collection, which had thousands of dollars worth of cards in it. You know, my brothers, I remember they went through some of those cards. They had some rookies like they didn't have a Mickey Mantle. I think they had, you know, like O.J. Simpson with all his notoriety. I think his rookie was worth a lot. Some of those, but it was interesting. They had not done a great job of keeping them in that perfect condition. And so the value kind of went down with that, unfortunately. You know, when Ethan was young, we had a friend that their son was growing up, and they sold us his whole Lego collection for like $50. But later on, I found out some of these sets were actually worth a lot. You know, and I don't
buy a Lego set, it's a better investment than the stock market. You know, it's crazy, but maybe it was Andy that said that. But so some of these things, they can be worth more than we think they are. In the same way, sometimes those of us who have known salvation that God provides, maybe our whole lives, we don't give it the value it truly has. Or maybe you're going through suffering and you're going, is it really worth it? Is this worth it? I thought that when I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, everything was going to be peachy keen. Everything was going to work out for me. The world would be right. Why is it not that way? So sometimes through maybe just indifference or attack, we can sometimes not value this salvation that we have. Or we forget the value. And 1 Peter 1:10 through 12, Peter is reminding these believers that are going to go through some tough times, whose society doesn't value their salvation and actually regards it as a bad thing, that no, this is very valuable. This is worth what you're going to go through to have this. So if I was to summarize his thoughts here, Hannah, if you could bring that up. Recognize the present value of your salvation. Recognize the present value of your salvation. We do have some notes at the back circle table if you like to take notes. If you didn't grab one of those, it could be a good useful resource for you. So Marilyn Martin's going to come up and read for us 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. So Marilyn, come on up. This idea, there's three things that jumped out to me. First, recognize the present value of your salvation by understanding its past. Second, recognize the present value of your salvation by appreciating its path. And third, recognize the present value of your salvation by valuing its promise. We got the three P's. Alliteration, pastor's favorite thing to do, right? So, but they do apply to this. So let's look at the first one. Recognize the present value of your salvation by understanding its past. Verse 10. We see in verse 10, if you're following along, I encourage you, follow along in your Bibles. Maybe you have the digital one, but the dead tree one's a good one as well. I find the dead tree one keeps me from looking at apps or games that might be a distraction to me. So what is that? The battery doesn't die, right? Yep. We see in verse 10, it says, the prophets from the distant past, they spoke and prophesied about the salvation that we were going to receive. They valued it greatly enough that they looked intently into it. They studied it. Have you ever been so interested or concerned with the topic that you studied it intently? Maybe you have something that you're passionate about and you really dig into that. They saw the value of this even from the past, that it was worth digging into, worth inquiring, worth chewing on, worth digging into. So the cross was not an afterthought or a plan B of God. It's helpful to know the Old Testament and to understand that it is one big arrow pointing to Jesus. There's some teachers today, I think Andy Stanley, I'll call him out on that, some others, that kind of say the Old Testament is no longer useful. Let's just focus on the New Testament. Many Christians kind of do that. And it's unfortunate because the Old Testament is regarded as Scripture. The God of the Old Testament is not any different from the God of the New Testament. You know, oftentimes he's caricatured as being this angry, wrathful God in the Old Testament, and suddenly he changes and becomes a loving God in the New Testament. That is a misnomer. That is false. God in the Old Testament.
Testament. I was just reading Jonah today, and God told Jonah to go to the Ninevites. Who were the Ninevites? Were they a great people? They were bad, and they had been oppressing Israel. And so God says, go to them, and Jonah says, no. And he runs the other way. And we know the story. He ends up in a whale, gets there, and he preaches to them, and the whole city turns to the Lord. And is Jonah happy? He's actually upset. And I remember, it's so interesting, I think it's in chapter 3, he says, I knew, God, that you're a compassionate, graceful God, and that you would forgive them if they turned back to you. That's why I didn't want to come here. I knew it. So it wasn't that he was mistaken. He was like, I hate these people so much, I didn't want them to get the forgiveness. You know, so we see that. And then he's waiting. He's hoping maybe his railing at God will turn God's heart to destroy the city. So he's waiting outside the city. Okay, is fire going to fall? And that little vine grows up, and then it gets killed, and he's mad enough about the vine to die. And the whole point of the book, it ends with God saying, you know, you cared about that vine. How much more do I care about this 120,000 people and even the cattle in this city? You know, so the God of the Old Testament is not just this wrathful, Zeus-like figure that's shooting lightning bolts down. He is a just God. He does care about sin, but he's also compassionate and merciful. So if we know the Old Testament, it sets up the ground rules. Some of you know that I like board games, right? That's often, Marilyn was making fun of me last night. I brought a game in my pocket. She's like, who brings a game in their pocket, you know? But I taught them a game. But have you ever tried to learn a game without knowing the rules by just watching everybody play? Have you ever done that? It's kind of hard. You might come to some wrong conclusions about how the rules work. It's nice if you know the rules before you start playing it. Has anyone ever played the game Mao? Oh, Mao. It's sort of a joke game. And I think, you know, John Vega liked to play it a lot. So John told me about Mao. But they used to play it at camp. And basically the thing of Mao is everybody knows the rules. And then you bring a new person in and you play without teaching them the rules. So they're constantly losing. And it feels like the rules keep changing. It's sort of a joke, basically. But some of us feel like if we only focus on the New Testament, we feel like we're in a game of Mao. How does this work? Why did Jesus even have to die on a cross? What does that mean? So understanding the rules, okay, this is why sacrifices happen. This is the idea of God making a people for himself. The whole Old Testament lays the groundwork and the ground rules for how the cross can even be understood. So recognize the present value of the salvation by understanding its past. It's a good thing to study the Old Testament, but I encourage you, study it with the lens of looking at how is this pointing to Jesus? How is it pointing towards the Christ? We even see in this passage, it says, the Spirit of Christ in them. That's interesting. It's like the Holy Spirit is pointing to Christ throughout the whole Old Testament. So you don't have to play the game without knowing the rules. You have it all laid out in the Old Testament of why the Christ must come, how he must come, what is sin, right? You know, if you're wanting to know kind of the foundation, Genesis 1 through 11 is really foundational to so many things. So dig into that. There's so much there that lays the foundation of all that is to come. Even in Genesis 3, it's talking about, you know, the Christ coming after Adam and Eve, you know, took the fruit. It says there's going to become one who comes that's going to bite the heel, you know, that's going to stomp on the serpent's head, and the serpent will bite his heel. Even there, it's forecasting the Christ and the sufferings he would take, but the victory he would have. So number two, we're moving on to number two. Not only do we see the present value of our salvation by understanding its past, secondly, if you could go to number two, Hannah, recognize the present value of your salvation by appreciating its path. Verse 11. We see over and over in Scripture, the path of those who follow Christ is communicated. Verse 11, it talks about there's going to be suffering and then glories. Bob talked about that up front, right? There is going to be suffering and glories. Scripture is warning us of that because it's, you know, often if you know something is coming, you're more ready for it. Has anyone ever got hit in the stomach when you didn't have your stomach flexed? How's that feel? We call it a gut punch, right? And it just bowls you over. You know, your wind's knocked out of you. You feel like you're dying. But if you know that punch is coming, you're able to flex your stomach, it just kind of bounces off. experience. There are going to be gut punches, so be ready for that so it doesn't overwhelm you. It won't surprise you. Jesus did not promise that when you and I follow him, everything's going to go well. One thing he did promise us is that he will be with us. You won't go alone. But he did say there's going to be suffering over and over. I encourage you, just as you read through the New Testament, you'll see that message over and over communicated to us. It's communicated in the Gospels. It's communicated in the letters. It's communicated in Revelation. There will be suffering, but take heart. What Jesus said, I have what? Overcome the world. All right. Suffering, I love this. One commentator said it this way. He said, suffering, when properly understood and applied, is the wake following behind salvation's boat. Let me read that again. Suffering, when properly understood and applied, is the wake following behind salvation's boat. So, the prosperity gospel and dominion theology error that many follow today are promising good for those who come to God through Christ, or that we will rule as co-regents of God. They take a part of the truth, but emphasize it to the neglect of the rest of it. They don't have a theology of suffering. So many following after that have a high potential to be disillusioned or destroyed if suffering comes into their life. They might say, well, I just didn't have enough faith, or maybe I'm not even a Christian, you know. And the dominion theology error is saying we're here to rule right now. But I would say, I would argue that Scripture seems to indicate more that we're here to be ambassadors. Think of Paul saying that. We're not here to rule, but to represent. We will rule in the end. So there's an aspect of that that sounds like the truth, but it's not the whole truth, right? God has said there's going to be trouble in this world. Go out as representatives, as ambassadors of reconciliation. If you go out trying to rule, you're going to have some, I think it's going to hit you hard in the face that it doesn't work quite that way yet. There's that weird aspect of the kingdom. It's now, but not yet. It peeks through, but it's not fully realized in our present reality as much as we would like. Our job right now is to rule, not to rule, but to represent. So when Jesus returns, he's going to set everything right. There will be the rule of God. However, right now, we're in enemy territory. We are ambassadors. There will be fights. There will be battles. So be ready. Be ready to be an ambassador. The third thing, our salvation's present value is seen in understanding its past, appreciating its path, and finally, recognize the present value of your salvation by valuing its promise. Verse 12. The promise of salvation is eternity with God. The promise of salvation is that even the worst sinner who turns to God can be forgiven. Verse 12 says that angels are longing to look into this salvation. It's so valuable that they are on bated breath watching and looking into this. It's quite astounding to see that enemies of God can be turned into family and friends of God. The gospel is the power of God to transform a broken life into a whole life. It's the power to turn a heart of stone into a heart of compassion. It's the power of God to resurrect the dead. Nothing else in all creation can accomplish what the gospel of Jesus Christ can accomplish. Look at the story of Saul. Saul was a persecutor of the church. He was breathing out murderous threats. He went to the chief priests, got permission to go and throw people in prison. And he's on his way to do that in a different city. And what does God do? What is the story? Yeah, some might say, well, God should strike him with lightning. In a sense, it did, but not. He said, Saul, that's enough's enough. But what did he do? He turned Saul around. And who did Saul become? Paul. And what did Paul do? He was one of the most effective missionaries for the gospel. The one who opposed it was killing people, throwing them in prison, suddenly became its greatest advocate. And I think God includes that message in the New Testament to show you and I. Paul later in his ministry says, God chose to use me, the worst of sinners, to accomplish his will. So God can turn enemies into advocates for him. So, saints, do not tire of declaring the gospel to your family, declaring the gospel to your coworkers, declaring the gospel to great power to change lives, to change eternal destinies. You were put where you are for a purpose. Pray diligently for those around you to understand and to have their eyes open to what God has done for them in Jesus Christ. Don't give up hope. Ask God for wisdom of how to declare the gospel to those around you with wisdom and respect through your words, but also through your very lives. Use your freedom in Christ to love God and others well, and recognize the value of the gospel in this present time, though you are going through tough things. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we can just forget the power of the gospel. Maybe it's become so familiar to us that we hold it with a strange sort of contempt or lackadaisicalness. Remind us of what you have truly saved us from. Remind us of the power of the gospel in our life. May we fully step into that and appropriate it in our lives. Bring freedom. Remind people of where they have come from and what you have saved them from and what you have also saved them for. Lord, help us to be your faithful ambassadors in our work, in our world this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here at Grace Fellowship, we close with a benediction. I encourage you after this to go to Circle Church, not because I said so, but because when you get in Circle Church, you're getting together with other believers, you're sharing your burdens in prayer, you're being challenged to apply this, not just to hear it and go away and not be changed. So make it a priority, whatever age you are, to go to Circle Church. Remember, the youth circle will be meeting at the fire pit. So let's stand up now for the benediction. Raise our hands, just an act of receiving. Go forth this week recognizing the present value of your salvation. Do this understanding its past, appreciating its